The past couple of weeks in Trenton have been, well, stormy ones to say the least. I just don't mean because of the weather either. The state budget process has turned into a budget crisis. Gun laws, Second Amendment rights have been restrained. And you, the taxpayer, will be on the hook for costs and losses created by others. Isn't that nice to know? Here to offer her analysis of all this is the Assemblywoman from New Jersey's 24th District. Good morning, Allison McGose.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, let us start with the math of the matter regarding the budget, the latest news regarding the budget. It was anticipated by the Christie administration that state revenue would increase during the fiscal year. I'm going off the top of my head, but I believe the call was 5.7%. And a lot of that was being based on April because everyone waits the last minute and people pay their taxes, businesses pay their taxes when April 15th gets closer. Well, a little problem came about, and that was April, $600 million short, which now brings a total of over $800 million short regarding projections for the budget versus what the budget is planning to be spending. So I guess now the word cut comes into effect, and that also creates a problem because one of the cuts being talked about is with the payment to the state pension fund. And to further complicate the matter, State Senate President Steve Sweeney had said not too long ago, you touch the pension, I'm shutting it down.
Right. So here we have a situation where the Democrats are in control of both houses of the legislature. They also, at this juncture, are in control of what the budget bill will look like. So for those of you who don't understand the process, the governor introduces a budget. We then take it and scrub it, create a bill. It then goes to his desk. He has the ability to line item veto things in the budget, and then the final budget is signed into law. This time around, when normally the governor will negotiate with the legislature on items that he would like to see kept in the budget or taken out or vice versa, there's a little bit of tension going on in Trenton. So the Democrats are playing hardball. Now, unfortunately, with these new revenue numbers, it puts the administration in a more precarious position. And the question is where they are going to make the cuts. Gary Scher has already said he's going to take out the tax on the cigarettes, the e-cigarettes. So that's more revenue numbers that were in there that are going to come out. But, you know, there's still a little bit of a shell game going on. So no clue yet what's going to happen.
You know, here's the problem, too, with the pension system, which is currently $52 billion in debt. Part of the reason why the various financial institutions have downgraded New Jersey is because of the lack of payments into the pension fund, among other things. So if you continue either cutting or eliminating pension fund payments, won't that compel the financial institutions to further downgrade? And then when it comes time to borrow for the transportation fund or maybe to put money into the pension fund, it's now going to cost the state more.
Right. And this, you know, the difficulty is once you're downgraded, it's very difficult to go back the other way. It's easier going down. But, you know, the pension payment, you know, Governor Christie was very proud of the fact that his administration has been the first in a long, long time to pay the pension contribution fully. And, you know, like you say, it has far-reaching implications.
Just to give you the math of matter, too, where governor pledged to make a $1.6 billion pension payment in the current budget year and then $2.25 billion in the budget year that starts July 1st. And again, because of that $807 million hole, still leaves an opportunity for that $1.6 billion to be partially held into a payment, but obviously with $52 billion staring at the total deficit, that would be sort of like putting a thimble of water into a fire and just alleviate, you know, aggravate the problem.
Mm-hmm.
When a city or state gets a Super Bowl, that's usually taken as a license to literally print money through events, through people and the surrounding businesses and area where the game is played, reap benefits as well from all that takes place, except when the Super Bowl apparently comes to New Jersey. We saw most of the events go over into New York City where the businesses over there reap the benefits. Now you think, let's do a little math again. New Jersey Transit expected 10 to 12,000 riders to go to the game and wind up having to come home or get back to the cars, whatever the case may be. That they ended up needing to move instead 30,000 people. That's great, you think, because more people means more people paying for tickets and more revenue coming in to New Jersey Transit. Not quite. When they put pen to paper, added it all up, New Jersey Transit lost $5.6 million.
Ouch. Well, you know, like you say, the hope was that this would be a great, shot in the arm for our economy in terms of bringing people to New Jersey and showing off our state, but didn't work out that way. And New Jersey Transit, I have to give them some credit. They did do a lot in preparation for the Super Bowl. I think they were overwhelmed with the number of people that relied on public transportation, but that should have been part of the plan, you know? I mean, you make a plan and you anticipate the worst. So,
and they had knowledge of what their capabilities were, because I think maybe 6 months before there was a U2 concert at mm-hmm. Giant Stadium, and they discovered that handling 20,000 customers at the end of an event was a strain.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know what they can do short of, you know, building another station there, but they certainly didn't have the ability to filter the people in and out of that station and onto trains and move them out in a timely manner.
Talking with Assemblywoman Allison McHose here on Issues and Ideas on the web at AllisonMcHose.com. State House is njledge.state.nj.us. New Jersey's gun laws certainly ranked by gun proponents and opponents as among the toughest, and that's further magnified if you go to a right-to-carry permit. There's a gentleman, John Drake, a Friedman, owns an ATM business, occasionally has to carry large amounts of cash and says he needs a handgun for personal protection. This, according to a court documents segment we've talked many times here on the show with variety of people. The case finally made it to in the Supreme Court, but not in front of the Supreme Court. Supreme Court turned away the case over whether Americans have a constitutional right to be armed in public. The lower court ruling that upholds New Jersey's requirements for gun owners to show an urgent need to carry a handgun outside their home for self-defense. A police official and a judge has to approve the permits. So rather than going through a court of law, is this a cause that maybe the New Jersey gun laws themselves need to be altered?
Well, again, you know, this was a big disappointment. I had hoped that the Supreme Court would do the right thing and hear this case. Certainly, I support John Drake and his efforts. I have a bill for a permit to carry for the state of New Jersey that I've introduced each legislative session. And clearly we have to do something to protect the legal gun owners in New Jersey who are constantly punished. I've said this before, I'll say it again, criminals don't follow the law. So as many gun laws as we have, there's still crimes, and it doesn't seem to be helping to curb that. So we definitely have to revisit some of these laws.
And this, as a bill moves through the Senate Law and Public Safety Committee, a 3-2 vote for what's currently labeled as Bill A-2006, which lowers the magazine size from 15 to 10 rounds. And if you own a 15-round magazine, should this bill become law, you have to turn it in. And I would imagine if you don't turn it in, they'll come looking for it.
Yes. And, you know, again, this is another bill that the Democrats, it's a knee-jerk reaction, and I have a feeling that the governor will conditionally veto it. He may outright veto it, but I would say he's probably going to conditionally veto it and then send it back to us. But, once again, you know, it's not the right way to go.
I want to wrap up with a little recognition that you, as well as Assemblyman Farkas Pace and State Senator Steve Araujo received. You were once again, through the Americans for Prosperity, awarded a taxpayer hero designation.
Yes, we had a really nice ceremony at Homer's in Sparta, and we were recognized for our voting record in helping to promote. They primarily focus on economic issues and taxes, and they like the way we vote. So I was happy and pleased, and it was a nice group there, and we had some good questions and even had some press coverage, so it was nice.
And that is the third straight year that the 24th District has been recognized for their pro-taxpayer votes as opposed to their pro-tax votes that too many in the State House seem to be enthralled by. Share your thoughts on what we talked about here, and to bring something to her attention, you can do that at AllisonMcHose.com. and to keep on top of the action of the State House and watch the budget as it changes. Maybe that's why they need to do this thing in pencil nowadays. njledge.state.nj.us is where you can do that. She is the Assemblywoman for New Jersey's 24th District, Dallas and McCullough. Happy Mother's Day. We'll do this again next week.
Thank you, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.